Now it's working. All right. I got the phone to work, so, you know, I am old. I am old and I'm limited and I speak up for Lenny and others. So for the new people, we're glad you're here. This meeting's different. We study the book and go through it in detail. Tonight, we had covered on page 59 last week the 12 steps. And I thought that we would study. Everybody have this card? All right, well, the handouts are here at the table if you come in case you ever wondered. So we're going to talk about this card tonight, which I've called Recovery from Alcoholism, How It Looks. How did the steps work? We covered the steps last week. They're on page 59. That's the suggested program of recovery. And how is this program of recovery put together so that I can recover from a hopeless condition of mind and body? And I scribbled this one night when I was working with a sponsee, and then I did one meeting where I wrote it out. People didn't like my handwriting, and then I got Patty to put this together, and then people don't like it because the print's too small. So you can't win, but this card has really been important to me, and let's see what we can get out of it before we finish the preamble. And when I came into AA, and actually my whole life, I lived in this world where I played God, and I was separated from God. I lived there. I didn't know any other world. Anybody else like that? And I lived in that world before I drank. And then when I drank, the world got different. Things changed. I saw the world differently. And so I was already an alcoholic before I drank. I was living in alcoholism, which is this world where I play God. Now, the big book talks about selfishness, self-centered is the root of our problem. And what they're really saying is that we live in a world that we've created. Now, this world where I played God was not a real world. Where did it exist? In my mind. And Chuck Chamberlain, the famous speaker, said there's only one problem and one solution: conscious separation from God and conscious contact with God. And I separated myself from God in my mind and lived in this world. And when you're in this world, there's a problem because you have this person talking to you all the time. And this person tells you things that you're supposed to see and feel and understand, and it's bad advice. And you don't know it because you've had that voice all the time. And that voice is, I call it my thinker. Some people call it the ego. And when I live in this world that I created where I'm playing God and I'm managing the world to get where I want, that thinker is talking to me all the time and telling me how I should feel about events that are happening, what I need to be happy. Anybody else have that? I lived under a delusion in this world, it says in the big book, that I could wrest happiness and satisfaction out of life if I managed life well. So I made a decision, I think I was probably five or six, that if I could just do things differently, I would get approval. You know, if I was just, I could get mom's approval, maybe if I made the first Little League team, or I got straight A's, and I was seeking things out there to feel good about myself. Because when I live in the world where I play God, I'm never going to feel okay. I'm always going to be disturbed. So I wrote here, restless, irritable, and discontented. Anybody ever heard that before? It's in the big book, in Doctor's Opinion. It said, alcoholics seek drink for the sense of ease and comfort. Did anybody do that? In fact, most people feel better before they have the first drink on the way to the liquor store, right? Because they know it's coming. Now, it relieved this condition of restless, irritable, discontented. So when I lived in the self-created world where I was the center of the universe and I played God, I didn't feel good. And alcohol became my solution for feeling good in that world. Now, it was good in the beginning, but it stops working. Did it stop working for anybody? And the reason it didn't work well is because I have an allergy to alcohol. Anybody else have that? So then I would lose control, and then I think bad things would happen, and then it would go on, and I don't need to go into great detail. We've all lived it, right? So if I stay in this world, nothing's going to change. Now, if I'm in the world that I create, I get angry. Anybody else get angry? Anybody get fear? Anybody harm people? Anybody have shame and guilt? Now, I'm talking now about when you come in the first time. Now, as you stay in the program and work the steps, what we're doing all day long is going from this world to the other world. But in the beginning, we don't know that. We don't know what our problem is. And it says on page 61, we have to be convinced that a life run on self-will can never be successful, right? And I was in conflict with everybody and everything. Anybody else like that? And so I wrote six things that occur when I'm in this world. One, I have no serenity. And remember, we have a promise that we will know serenity and no peace. Anybody ever heard that promise, right? Well, that promise is never going to come true for you if you're in your world. I had no peace, and I had no power over alcohol. And I had no power to manage my life successfully. And I had no power to react in a positive way to things. So in this world where I played God and I thought I had all power, I had no power. And I was powerless. I was powerless to manage my life successfully, and I was powerless to keep from drinking. And I was powerless to stop my harmful actions. So if you live in this world and you come in here, usually you realize people come to AA that their world is not working. Now, they don't understand that they've created this world. They just know that life is not good. Things are bad. Anybody else come here like that? And you have a lot of problems. You don't feel good. You're fear. You're angry. You can't stop using and drinking. Life's coming apart. And if you've experienced that, then we call this the surrender. We surrender. Anybody surrender that they've had enough, they couldn't go on anymore? And what we're really saying, but people don't realize, is I'm surrendering that I don't want to stay in that world anymore. Now, I didn't know that when I came in. I just knew that things were bad out there and in here, and I had a list of people that caused them. Anybody else have that? But the problem was me, and I was living in this world that I created. So what we do is, when you get to page after you've experienced surrender, you're willing to change. So anybody willing to change today? Anybody want to change? And so I decided to change, and when I really didn't understand, but when I decided to change, I was actually beginning to move out of this world because I was seeking something else. I didn't realize it, but the act of surrender, the act of asking for help, is beginning to move out of the self-centered world where I was running the show because I couldn't run it anymore. And so that's a very powerful step. I usually ask people, do they remember their moment when they were completely defeated? You know, and I remember my moment, Kerry shaking his head. And I never want to forget that moment, because when I think of that moment, I want to move out of that world. And so steps 1 through 3 is the beginning of the process of changing. Step 1 is where I realize I'm powerless and I cannot manage my life and I can't keep from drinking. And step 2 is where I begin to believe that there's a power greater than me that can help me. Now, how did I do that? I believed it because I met people somewhere in this room that were sober. And they had something I didn't have. And I said, there's hope for me. That's what we're supposed to do in the fellowship. We're supposed to give hope to the new person. And we're supposed to give hope to each other that we can change. And we have a fellowship of people seeking God together to change. And so step 3 is where I made a decision that I didn't want to be in this world anymore. Now, the step 3 decision in the big book says we had to stop playing God. Anybody remember reading that? Anybody think it's a good idea? They tell you why. It didn't work. So I didn't realize when I came in here that my real problem was I was living in a world where I played God. And I had all power, and that power was worthless to me because it was my power. So I had to do several things. I had to make a decision to fire myself. And the reason I decided to fire myself was because I was a bad manager. And I was a losing team. I hadn't won a game in years. I kept drafting the wrong players. I kept calling the wrong plays. And I was a loser. So I said, I'm going to fire myself. I don't want to manage myself anymore. And when you start to do this process, you're beginning to move out of that world because you're willing to look somewhere else. Does this make sense? It's very powerful. Now, so it says we had to stop playing God, and they tell you why, because it didn't work. And here's why it didn't work for me, because I'm not God. It took me quite a while to realize that. I mean, James is laughing, but you know, one day I said, you know, it's not going to work because I'm not God. I mean, it seems pretty obvious, but I'm not that smart. You can have all the degrees in the world and still be pretty stupid. And here's the thing. I lived in this illusion, must have lived in this illusion that I was God, because I thought I could fix everything and manage everything. So I said, fire Michael, I'm going to move out of this world. Now, this is really a powerful three steps. They're really powerful. And it says if you do this in the big book, you're going to be reborn. You're going to lose fear of people. You're going to have a new employer. You're going to work for God. You're going to have someone who'll give you everything you need if you stay close to him and do his work well. And he has worry. Powerful stuff, isn't it? Now, here's the problem. I could take steps 1 through 3. I can be completely defeated and miserable. And if I don't take action, nothing's going to change. And here's the other problem. I slip back into that world where I'm God all the time. The ego rebuilds quickly. When you come in, you're very defeated and you're open-minded. I was working with 3 people today. They're defeated. They're open-minded. They're willing to change. But that can regrow quickly. So you want to take action to change. So steps 1 through 3 move me out. And I have to be willing to leave that world I wrote, believing I can leave it and deciding to leave it. So I'm leaving that world. I don't want to live in that world anymore. And I haven't really said it that way before, but that's what I want to do. I've always said I'm willing to change, but I'm willing to leave my self-centered world. I don't want to be there anymore. And then it says we're building an arch to freedom. Now it says the arch to freedom, the foundation of it is willingness, willing to change. And the arch to freedom is free from the bondage of your self-centeredness. And you believe you can change is the cornerstone, and the decision to change is the keystone. Now the arch needs more stones, right? You can't just have those stones in place to build the arch to freedom. And the arch to freedom is steps 4 through 9. And when it's completed, it brings you into God's world. Now, how do you go from the world where you're playing God to the world where God's God and you're in the real world? Well, steps 4 is where you face and be rid of the things that are blocking you from the real world, right? You're looking at your anger and your fear and your harmful conduct. And then you're looking at your character defects. And in steps 6 and 7, you're willing to change how you react. You're willing to practice the character that God gave you. And then 8 and 9, you're willing to make amends to the world so you don't have fear of people anymore. And so this is, you're building an arch to freedom. Now, the reason I decided to do this tonight is because we talk about step 12 a lot, but I don't know if new people understand what it really says. Step 12 says having a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. There's only one result in AA, is to have a spiritual awakening. And that's what the steps are designed to produce. And you're supposed to carry the message. And the message is simple. If you do these steps, you'll have a spiritual awakening. And then you can practice the principles that gave you the awakening the rest of your life. Now, the spiritual awakening sounds very complicated, doesn't it? But what it means is you're in the real world now. You're awakened to this world where God is God, and you're just playing the role God assigns you. You're not in charge anymore. You don't have to run it anymore. I don't know about you, but when I'm in that world, I have a lot less burden. when I get back in Michael's world, it seems I have so much crap that I'm carrying around. And so it says on page 84, you've entered the world of the spirit, step 10. So in step 10, we finally left the world that we created to the world where God lives. Anybody think that's a good idea? Well, people who have done it can tell you that's the place you're going to have peace. Now, we don't read the promises at this meeting, but they're on pages 83 and 84. Those are the ninth step promises. They're promises throughout the book. So what does a spiritual awakening look like? Well, I'll read it to you. It says on page 83, you're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. So if you've done the steps, you've made a decision to get out of the world where you're God, you're moving into the world where God is God in the real world, and you work for God, then you're gonna have a new freedom, and you're gonna be happy. You're not gonna regret the past to shut the door on it. You're gonna comprehend the word serenity, and you're gonna know peace. So this is what a spiritual awakening looks like. You will see how your experience can benefit others. Your feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. You'll lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in your fellows. Self-seeking slips away. See how these things, it just disappear, slips away, you know. Things just happen to you. Something happens to you when you work the steps and you're in this world. My whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave me. I will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle me. There are a lot of benefits for being in that world, aren't there? You see, and you don't experience this when you're in your world. You experience irritable, restless, and discontent. And you solve that by drinking. Now, you're going to work the steps, and you're going to live in the world of the Spirit, and you're going to have these promises. And here's the thing, you're going to suddenly realize that God is doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. You're awakened that there's a power in your life that's doing something you're not doing. You're not drinking. And you're going to find you're not reacting the same way anymore. You're not getting upset all the time. You're not full of fear. You've learned tools in steps 4 through 9. So it says this thought, the promises bring you to step 10. It says, we have entered the world of the Spirit. And so my next function in the world of the Spirit is to grow an understanding of effectiveness of God's will for me. So I want to stay in the real world where God's the center, includes him and everything connected to God. Everybody think that's a good idea? Here's the problem. You're still an alcoholic. We're never cured. I have a daily reprieve based on my fit spiritual condition. And when I'm in fit spiritual condition, I'm in the real world. God's my center. And so all day long, I have to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. When they crop up, ask God at once to remove them. Discuss with another person. Make amends if I'm harmed. Love and tolerance is my code. Turn my thoughts to others, you see. So we start out where we're in the world where we created. Our lives are a mess. If you work the steps, you get a glimpse of the real world. The promises are coming true. And then you live in steps 10, 11, and 12, pages 84 to 88 are the instructions how to stay there. And in the real world, you have the promises. I wrote the obsessions removed. You're not fighting anything or anybody, and you're in fit spiritual condition. It says if you're in fit spiritual condition, you will react normally to alcohol. You will see it as like putting your hand in a flame, and you will see the truth about that. So then when people say that they're recovered from alcoholism, they said it in the foreword, we are 100 men and women who have recovered from alcoholism. Well, what do they mean by that? Recovered means you're just in the world of the Spirit. And as long as you're trying to stay there the best you can in steps 10, 11, and 12, you're recovered. As soon as you stop seeking God and stop trying to have him direct you and live in that world, then you slip back. So you can go back and go through the arch of freedom to the arch of bondage. And you can do it all day long. If you get good at it, you know when you're slipping out of the world of the Spirit and you make the corrections quickly. Because you don't want to leave there. Why? You feel good when you're there. So I actually wrote, if you see it has experience at bigbook.org, I wrote 4 thoughts on this, how you recover from alcoholism, and I used this card. I hope somebody, did anybody find this helpful? Because when you come in, a lot of people don't understand what we're trying to do in AA. What we're trying to do in AA is support you, where you can have somebody find somebody and go through the steps so you can change. And so this is the deal. And so instead, going back to the preamble, it says, on page 59, so having had a spiritual awakening, we talked about what that looks like. We tried to carry this message to alcoholics. So what is the message? Page 60. And it says, what is that? And the message is that if you want to have a spiritual awakening, work the steps. Now, you hear a lot of things now. I don't know if they're good or bad, but you don't always hear that message. And you hear... you know, a lot of things that are fellowship messages, they're not good or bad. But the only message AA has is if you want to change and recover from alcoholism, work the steps. Spiritual awakening means you awaken to something. It means you were asleep before. Now, what was I asleep? Well, I was asleep because I lived in this world and I didn't realize that I wasn't God. You see, I was asleep to the power. And so I woke up where God's the center, includes him and everything connected to God. And I want to tell you, I wouldn't give up what I've gotten from AA by doing this. Because what I've really gotten, and it's not money and fame and fortune and things like that. I feel okay most of the time. I feel at peace a lot. I don't get disturbed as much as I used to, and I even survived the Duke loss, right, Mark? Mark was proud of me. And it says, many of us exclaim, what an order, I can't go through with it. Has anybody ever heard anybody say that? I've never heard, what an order, I can't go through with it. I've heard a lot of people say, I don't want to go through it, or I'm not going to go through with it. Or they'll give me conditions of what they're going to do. You know, I'll do step four, but not eight. You know, and I'll go to three meetings a week, but blah, blah, blah. It says, no one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We're not saints. And that's true. But I don't want to use that as an excuse when I screw up and say, well, I'm not perfect, you know. I don't want to use things as an excuse anymore. But here it is. Are you willing to grow along spiritual lines? Now, growing along spiritual lines means growing, not going back and forth. Are you continuing to seek? Are you continuing to grow? And the principles we have set down, now this is hidden in the big book, are the guides to progress. So do you want to progress spiritually? Well, the guides are the principles or the steps, right? So it says, rarely have we seen a person fail, certainly followed the path. Well, the path is the path to spiritual awakening, and the guides are the steps. Now, we talk about sponsorship a lot, and I believe in it. It saved my life. But to me, the sponsor is the guide. It helps guide you down the steps. You show the person what you have done. Remember, and it says we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. So I wrote, what's your claim today? What do you claim today? Now, claiming spiritual progress is not an excuse that you're not spiritually perfect. It means you're continuing to seek to be in fit spiritual condition. You're seeking God constantly, all day long, to follow his will, not yours. Then we're going to cover the ABCs, and I'll shut up. You'll all be glad to know that. Our description of the alcoholic, that's described in the first 57 pages. They describe the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, and the fact that alcoholics can't see the truth about alcohol right before they drink. Anybody have that problem? They swear off, they absolutely never gonna drink again, and then before you know it, they're drinking again. Now how'd that happen? Because their mind can only see what alcohol was gonna do for them, not to them. That's why if you live in the world where you play God, you're gonna be irritable, restless, discontent. Your mind's gonna say, get a drink. And then you won't be able to say no. Now, you're not going to go to the liquor store and saying, I'm irritable, restless, discontent, because I'm living in a self-centered world. I've been playing God all day, and I'm full of fear and anger, and give me a bottle of vodka. People don't usually They don't usually do that, but that's what they're saying. But they're saying that. Do you see that? It sounds preposterous, but that's what you're really saying. And you believe that it's okay because you can't see it's anything wrong with it. And you cannot manage your own life. Now, what can't you manage? There's one thing, people get confused. There's one thing I could not manage to keep from drinking and using. Anybody else have that? So that made my life unmanageable. But the other thing is I couldn't manage my life sober. Right? Why? I tried to run the world. Anybody else do that? Anybody do it today? I'm sure I did it sometime today. We all do. Be honest. We all day long, we're judging things and we're reacting to things, and we just have to stop now and laugh at ourselves. You never stop doing that, but you want to fire yourself right away. You see, you want to fire yourself within 30 seconds of when you start managing your world, maybe 10 seconds. And it says, no human power could have relieved my alcoholism. That's described in Chapter to the Agnostic, and it's also described in More About Alcoholism, what they call the queer mental twist right before the first drink. And they have the jaywalker, Fred, and Jim, and the man of 30, and they describe this queer mental twist, and they end on page 43, and that's the description of the alcoholic, is we have no defense against the first drink. Now, a lot of people read that and say, yeah, we have no defense, but they don't realize it. I'm saying, I have no defense against the first drink. And what they're really telling you is you're going to drink again. And they're right. Most alcoholics don't stay sober. They don't recover. Unless they read the Chapter to the Agnostic, they believe that there's a power greater than themselves, they make a decision not to play God, and they work the steps. And so there is a solution. And it says that God could and would if he were sought. And you could say can and will if he's sought. Now the word sought is very powerful. Because all we become in AA, we don't get smart, we just become God seekers. And we should be a group of fellow God seekers today, and he can and will. Now, how do I know that? It's happened to me. So we're going to stop there, because we'll start up with step three. And people can describe how the steps have caused the spiritual awakening, how they feel better living in the real world, how God can and will if he were sought. Now, I will say one thing about God can and will if he were sought. We're not talking about, you know, getting a new job or more money or getting, I'm talking about when I'm full of fear, I could say, God, relieve my fear and direct my attention how it might be, and the fear goes away. When I get angry or judgmental, I say, God, I don't want to be judging now. I want to be loving and tolerant. Help me, change me. You see, that's what, and it always happens. And so we go from believing in step two to true faith that God can and will if he sought. And you don't have to understand who God is, and it doesn't matter what you call your God. AA tells you God will reveal himself to you. And you don't have to worry. You will feel differently. And how will you know that? You'll suddenly realize that there's a power doing something for you you cannot do for yourself. See how it works? All right. So we'll stop there, and we have plenty of time for discussion, and thank you.